really don't know who Bert was talking about. But I'm delighted to be on this great lectureship, and I appreciate the opportunity this man and the great elders of this church and the well-able director and all who make up this great school. I certainly appreciate the opportunity to speak on this lectureship. My assigned subject is preach the word with persuasion. And I decided to use Paul's letter to Timothy. If you have your Bibles, look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The overall theme in times like these, generally speaking, the world doesn't care to hear the truth of God in times like these. But we must preach the gospel of Christ in spite of times in which we live. And brethren, I'm persuaded that because of the country in which we live and the situation in the church of our Lord, God is allowing certain things to happen in the country in which we live to wake us up. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 8, I believe it is, and they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. It seemed like the church of our Lord worked better on the persecution. And brethren, it seemed like it's starting all over again. Paul said, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. We persuade men to do many things. That's good, and some things that's bad. But my subject is preaching the word. The Logos, Christ. Now, I'm not going to follow this manuscript to the T. It's there for your convenience to read. I don't normally preach from notes. I just usually preach from the Bible. But the word persuasion, persuade, it means to induce a person to believe something or to do something, to influence or gain over by argument or advice, to draw or incline to determination by persuading a sufficient motive to convince. And brethren, let me tell you something. God's word is powerful enough where we don't have to be mean. Paul said, preach the truth in love. So tonight, we're going to look at 4 points. Now, nobody said how much time that I had. I guess I'll wait for the director to come up and signal me. But we have 4 points here. The presence of preaching, the problems of preaching, the price of preaching, and the purpose of preaching. Open your Bible, if you will, to 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 1 and 2. And we'll use these scriptures as a basis for our study tonight. And if I'm my horse and get on your nerve, I just finished a meeting over there in Ohio that we had one to obey the gospel of God. And we'll certainly proud of that. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 1, he said, I charge thee. This is a military term. I charge thee therefore before God. We're talking about the presence of preaching. We are standing before God as evangelists, as an evangelist, gospel preachers, ministers, whatever you want to call them, Paul said, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Notice what he said. He said, preach the word, brethren. He said, preach it.
Now, it seems like I'm a little loud.
Well, I'm a little loud anyway, and maybe you need to get this off. I don't want to mess anything up, but I'm a little loud. When I'm not preaching, I speak real low. But I don't want to blast anybody out of here. Well, I'll try to tone it down a little bit. But he said, preach the word. It is God's word that will save our soul. And we need to preach it with persuasion. We are standing before the people of God. We are standing in the presence of God. And we must preach the word. We must preach it. I know sometimes individuals get a little upset. But we must preach God's word. I like what David said in the book of Psalm 4 and verse 4. Stand in awe and sin not. Continue with your own heart upon your beds and be still. He also said in Psalm 119 and verse 161, he said, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. Brethren, when we stand in before people preaching God's counsel, we stand and watch it. When we stand in awe of his word, we're standing in awe of God Almighty. And gospel preachers must not give book reviews. Talk about politics and economics and current events. That's all right in its place, and I'm not totally against that. But brother, when you get down to it, God said in Jude 3, I believe it is, and 2, you preach the words that I bid you to preach. And Jude said, that's in Jonah. But in Jude 3, we must earnestly contend for the faith. And Peter said in 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak out of the oracle of God. Brethren, when it comes to gospel meeting, I see sometimes brethren call themselves preaching gospel meetings. I'll tell you what, a good Baptist could do the good job, the job some of them doing. Brethren, we need to preach God's word like we mean it. Preach it with persuasion. Book reviews and so forth. We are to really preach God's word. I like what Paul said. 1 Corinthians 9:16, Paul said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory for it necessary is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brethren, when I'm in the pulpit, I don't have any friends. Sometimes you have to tell people some things they don't want to hear. And it upset them a little bit. Even folk in your own family think you're a radical. But brethren, we need to preach God's truth. If denominational preachers can get up and spew out their false doctrine, why do we have to be so quiet and scared? Don't want to disturb anything. When the Apostle Paul went into place and preached, it was a revival or a riot. Well, let's go a little further. Being in God's presence, preaching with persuasion, we must be instant in season, out of season. The word instant, it means to take a stand. Brethren, we got to take a stand. Preach it like you mean it. I don't think we need to be nasty with God's word in attitude. I think we need to have a positive attitude, but we need to preach it with persuasion because we are in the presence of God Almighty. And it seems like every preacher that God ever had in old, they were persecuted. Brethren, let me tell you something. They're going to fire at you. They're going to fire. God, listen to you preacher students, listen to me. Be as nice as you can. They're going to fire at you. And if you don't want to be fired at you, you better stop preaching now. They're going to shoot at you. Well, he said, reprove. It means to put a person under conviction. to lead a person to see his or her fault, to feel guilty over the sins. Rebuke. This is a strong word. It carries the idea of a sharp, severe rebuke with possible suggestion in some cases of impending penalty. A word of warning and rebuke would often save a brother from many a sin and many shipwrecks. Sometimes, brethren, if you preach strong enough with conviction, some people say, well, this boy will not do it. I remember when I first obeyed the gospel, like any other new convert, you have some of the problems of the world that was plaguing me. But the preacher, he didn't slow down at all. He preached it, and I got better and better. And brother, if you preach the word, they'll either leave or stay. Well, preaching it. Got to preach the whole counsel of God. Paul said in Acts 20, verse number 26 through 27, Paul says some things that's very interesting there, and I like that. Paul said, wherefore I take to record this day, I am pure from the blood of all men. I have not shunned to declare all the counsel of God. I like that. Brother, we have to do it. We have to talk about everything. We have to preach the word. We have to talk about the duties of members of the body of Christ. Ephesians 2 and verse number 10. We have to talk about the duty. We have to talk about drugs, which is destroying our nation. Amen, somebody. Maybe they don't have the problem here, but where I am, they have problems everywhere with drugs. And if you think you say, well, I'm not having problems, just keep living. They stay in America because we're having problems with drugs. We're also having problems and been having problems with drinking. And there's somebody in here that drinks. Oh, he's in here. He and his wife may be in here. Oh, yes, they drink. I'll guarantee you it's somebody in this audience that drank whiskey or beer and may have a family. Got quiet on me there. Oh, yeah. Proverbs 20 and verse, what is Proverbs 20, I believe, and 1, wine is a mocker, strong drinks are raging. Listen to this, brethren, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Brethren, you can't handle the whiskey and the beer. I never, you know what, talking about alcohol. Brethren, you know, just because the government legalized certain things doesn't mean that we need to take it. You see, they haven't legalized our drugs yet. You notice I said, yeah, I'll guarantee you, before it's all over, they'll legalize drugs. You know, during the prohibition, they cut out the whiskey. But brethren, there was so much whiskey coming in from Canada. Guess what? The government said, well, we need to get some of this money off of it. And that's the way it is with the drugs today. The government's not getting enough money off of it. When they stop, when they think they need to get some more money, I'll guarantee you they'll legalize it. When they legalize it, are you going to start smoking marijuana? What about the crack cocaine? As Christians, we should live a sober life. We should try to live a sober, balanced life. They can, you know, I told a guy one time, I said, your liquor store here, friend of mine had a liquor store. I said, I'll tell you what thing, buddy, you would go out of business before I buy any. Got to preach on divorce. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And brother, sometimes we hate to do it, but we got to do it. We got to preach the whole counsel of God. Also, we have to preach on denominationalism. I've been the place that preachers didn't want, preachers and elders didn't want me to preach on what you call me for. Got to preach on denominationalism. And the very foundation of denominationalism is opinion and division. But the foundation of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ is unity, watch it, based on the thus saith the Lord. John chapter 17, verse 20 and 21, Jesus prayed that we all might be one through the words of the apostles. They were guided into all truth. John 16 and verse 13. Brethren, is that good? afraid to tell a man that if he's not a member of the Church of Christ, he's going to lose his soul. When I obeyed the gospel of Christ, 1978, when I came out of that water, the next day, went to my own mother's house. Now I told my mother, listen, you can't stay in that Baptist church and go to heaven. I word my mama. She brought me in the world, but guess what? She can't be saved in the Baptist church. And if you're here tonight and you're a member of some denominational church, you can't be saved in it. Somebody needs to tell you before it's too late. And you need to stop listening to Billy Graham and Oral Roberts and speak the Bible. Read the Bible. Is it in there? Is the Baptist church in the Bible? We done got, it seems like we're afraid to preach that. Don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Or what happened to your mother? Walked down the aisle and obeyed the gospel of Christ. Had a 10 meeting, baptized my brother and his wife. Baptized my daughter and my wife. Get them out of that denominationalism. Denominationalism will keep you out of jail, but it won't keep you out of hell. Somebody needs to tell the people that. Amen. There's a problem of preaching. Let's go further. Paul says, verse number 3, for the time will come, watch it, when they will not endure sound doctrine. This word sound doctrine means a healthy, wholesome doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth
and shall be turned unto fables.
You got a problem here. What's the problem? People don't want to hear the truth, generally speaking. Oh, you got some. And a great audience like this, I'm sure the majority would love to hear the truth. And I believe you want to hear the truth preached with persuasion. You got many folks don't care to hear the truth in a lot of congregations. And you're going to have some problems there. Amen. A lot of problems. What happened to the churches in Asia? Brother Miller, what happened to those churches, seven churches in Asia? Where are they? What happened to that congregation in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost? About 3,000 souls obeyed the gospel. What happened to that church? What happened to those churches in Asia? Boy, it worries me. Will the Church of Christ be here 100 years from now if America is still standing? Something to think about, isn't it? There's a problem. Some people don't want to hear the truth. Some elderships don't want to hear the truth. Some preachers don't want to hear the truth. Some people don't care to hear the truth. Brother, let me tell you something. Let's go to Isaiah. Open your Bible to Isaiah 30. Open it to Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30 and verse number 8. Open your Bible. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I know this is a lectureship. Open your Bibles up to Isaiah 30. I can slow it down a little bit there. Open to Isaiah 30 and verse number 8 through 11. Now, let's notice something. People didn't like it back then. You want to know why God's people went into Assyrian captivity and Babylonian captivity? Because they rejected God's word. Isaiah 8, 30 and verse number 8. Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. Notice what it said, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and which say to the prophets, prophesy not unto us, write things, prophesy unto us, deceit things. They don't want to hear the truth. Some people don't care to hear. But let me tell you something, as an evangelist, brother, I don't know how much more time I got. Brother Dave, I don't know if I'm going to live another 10 years, 4 hours. I don't know. But I know one thing. As long as I'm black, in this size, and I got my right mind, I'm going to preach the truth. I don't think there's no change going to come in my complexion either. And I don't think I'm going to get any taller.
they get a little rounder. Brother, we need to preach the truth. And you know what? I think it's interesting. And I think we ought to do it with love. Somebody said, Brother Sanders, man, I'm not upset. Well, we got to preach the truth. Preach it with persuasion. I read about these old pioneer preachers. And you know, we're in the area right now where this movement got going years ago. Long time before we got here. You know what? I read in the history about John Raccoon Smith. He wasn't afraid. Guys out in Texas like J.D. Chant, guys up here in Bethany like Campbell, he wasn't afraid. I don't have near the sense they had, and I know I'm not afraid. Sometimes preachers, when they preach for local work, they preach it with persuasion, and they live godly life. Let me tell you, preachers, listen to me. You're going to have problems like in the book of Amos, chapter 7 there. Amos, send him up. Amos from Tekoa, send him up there to preach. Or they could say, listen, you're going to have to go to Judah and eat bread because we can't handle that kind of preaching that you're putting down. Well, gospel preachers that will preach the truth will have major problems. Listen to me. You're going to have a problem with people in the church and out. You're going to have a problem with the pastor, pastors, elders, bishops I'm talking about. You're going to have a problem getting paid. Sometimes you get to preach the truth and getting it on, they won't pay you. You better get arm yourself. Somebody needs to tell you that. They're going to have a problem there with it. Amen. Problem with pay for preaching the word. Well, you'll have a problem with brethren, even preaching brethren. Sometimes they get a little jealous of you. Brethren, just forget all about it. The Apostle Paul had to deal with all such foolishness as that. And we're no different from him. Well, we have the price for preaching. Let's go back to the text. 2 Timothy 4, verse number 5. Wait. Notice what Paul said. Paul said to Timothy there, but watch thou in all things. Notice what he said. Endure affliction. Do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the faith. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Watch. Paul was telling him, you take note of yourself. That word watch means to be sober, calm and alert, to be cool. He was telling Timothy to really watch yourself. But also in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16, Paul said, take heed thou to thyself and to the doctrine. Preachers, listen to me. The preacher is not the pastor. I know we got some members would love to make you the pastor. Preachers are not pastors. That's the denominational concept. But New Testament order, the evangelist, the preacher, watch it. He's not the pastor. He's an evangelist. He's a preacher. And he said, take heed, therefore, to yourself. Paul told elders in Acts 20, verse 28, take heed, therefore, to yourself. Brethren, we always look at self first. Preachers, take heed therefore to yourself, watch it, and to the doctrine, which is the gospel of Christ. He said, continue in them, and in doing thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear you. Is that good, brethren? Now, you're talking about doing the work of an evangelist, the price of preaching. That's what this school is all about. Preparation. Brethren, you know what? I'm just so glad. I'm finished at the Memphis School of Preaching. I believe you did too, didn't you, brother? You know what I'm so... You know, when I first got in school, I thought I didn't really need to go to school. And you may have some students here now that feel you don't need to go to school. Well, if you got all the sense, what are you doing here? Brethren, we need schooling. We got we got some of the ignorant brethren in the pulpits. Let me tell you something, brethren. Amen. And here's an older gospel preacher here. He can attest to that. We got too much ignorance in the pulpits. I think Brother Miller, there's a director down at Brownsville. We need our men trained. If the Baptists can send them to their cemetery, we need to get a good school. Train our preachers so they can learn the difference between truth and error. And brother, let me tell you something. School has helped me. Oh, amen, it helped me. And I'm still going to school. God wants his people to know the truth, and he wants them to rightly divide the word of truth. Well, let me go a little further here. I'm going to quit in a minute. I'm going to conclude. Well, let's look at the purpose of preaching. Why? Let's look at 2 Timothy 4, verse number 14, following. Let's go down there and read that. And we'll close out here. Paul said, "And Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord rewarded him according to his works. Of whom be thou beware also, for he has greatly withstood our words." And he said, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me." Brethren, preaching with persuasion, watch it. The purpose of preaching, sometimes brethren won't stand with you on the truth. And this old idea about licking your finger and seeing which way the wind blow, that's what position you're going to take. Brethren, you need to stick with the Bible. You need to stick with the Bible and pray to God Almighty. Because sometimes, watch it, your own family will turn against you. Your family, you get to preaching the word and they're condemned, they're wrong, they'll turn against you. And sometimes you have to go and pray and talk to God Almighty. Because sometimes brethren won't hold. Brethren won't stick up with you for the truth. Because of money sometimes, our prestige, our position. Paul said, God stood with him. Brethren, you know what? That's what I like. That's what I like about the Bible. You may do me wrong. Brethren may do me wrong. But let me, if I live a godly life, God is with me. And Paul said, listen, if God be for us, who can be against us? Brother, when I got God on my side, I dare you to jump me. He'll take care of you. I won't have to lay a hand on you. Well, let's go a little further. That it may not be laid to their charge. He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. And notice what he said, and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that the Gentile may hear. Look at the purpose of preaching. Why am I here? Why? I have a purpose. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a Christian, you got a purpose. I've got a purpose, and I want to fulfill my purpose with joy before they bury me beneath the sod. I want to help somebody to hear the gospel. I can't make them obey, Bert, but I want to get it to them. I want to get the medicine to them. It may help save the soul. Got to preaching night before last over there, didn't have no idea this young fellow was going to walk out. He walked out and he said, "I want you to baptize me." I was already wet. I said, "Well, bring him on." Baptize him into Christ. Now, you know what? That child will never forget that. Is that good, brethren? I may be helping somebody here tonight. Purpose. Let's turn, if you would. I believe in the Bible. I believe in going to the Bible. I really like that. I believe in going to the Bible there. Paul said, and I was delivered out of the mouth of lions, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I like that. But let's turn, if you would, to Acts 26. Maybe somebody says, I don't like this kind of lecturing. I don't like this kind of preaching. No, I know it. That's the reason I'm doing it. When you get up here, you preach the way you want to preach. Is that good? But this is the way I do it. Brethren, I don't change my style for you. This is just me. Amen. Acts 26, verse number 6. Oh, this is good preaching. How do you know it's good preaching? Because it's Bible preaching. Acts 26 and verse number 16. But arise and stand up on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. This is God, Christ rather, speaking to the apostle Paul. Paul rather, Saul of Tarsus, before his conversion. He said, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I have appeared unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles of whom I send thee. For what reason? To open their eye. What's our purpose? What's your purpose as a Christian? To open somebody's eyes. Not no mean watching these physical eyes. I'm talking about the eyes of understanding. Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of understanding. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness unto light. Look at the purpose of preaching. That's the purpose of preaching. And we need to preach it with persuasion. To open people's eyes. Turn them from denominationalism. You know what? When I've already been over this little town. You got the First Christian Church. You got the Baptist and your Methodist. And you got the Catholic over there. And even the Salvation Army. All of these churches in there. And these folks are in there, and sometimes individuals say, well, we don't have anything for the young people to do. Well, where have you been? In a town this side and all this city, plagued with denominationalism, and we're sitting around just tilting our tongue. We don't have nothing to do. It's kind of like when I was a boy at home, shopping cotton. Maybe y'all don't know nothing about up in these hills, but back down south, we had to chop cotton. And when it would rain, I would say, boy, I'm glad it's raining. More rain, more rest. My granddaddy said, no, not more rest, more grass. Looked out and said, well, there's nothing to do. He said, son, just go on out there. You'll find something to do. You think it's not anything to do? Go out here and beat the highway and byway. There are many individuals out there who are in darkness, and they need to be turned from darkness to light. I'm talking about the light of the gospel. Ephesians 4:4. Well, and from the power of Satan unto God. Brethren, Satan's got a hope. That they may have received remission of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith in me. I like that. And Peter said, Acts 15:7. I think I better quit here. Peter said, after there had been much disputing, Peter rose and said, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago that God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth. Why did God, my mother asked me one time, why did God give you such a big mouth so I could tell people the truth? I don't need no microphone. By my mouth that the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe it. Brethren, don't use your mouth for profanity and talking about people. Use your mouth, watch it, to edify people and to tell them the truth of the gospel. Brethren, we need to get busy. Am I persuading you? I hope I am. I hope I'm helping somebody. I want to do it before they place me beneath the sod. Tell them about the death of Christ. the burial of Christ, and the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And when he hanged on that cross of Calvary, John 19, 34 through 36, they pierced him in the side. And the record says, forthwith came out blood and water. And he took that same blood, and he bought the church of Christ. Which one did he buy? He bought the church of Christ. He didn't buy no Baptist church. No. All the blood of Christ bought one church. Now, I haven't read nothing nowhere in the Bible where God gave any Baptist church a blood transfusion. The Catholic Church, the blood of Christ didn't buy it. The Methodist Church, the blood of Christ didn't buy it. The blood of Christ, watch it, didn't buy the Pentecostal church. It didn't buy the first Christian church. It bought the church of Christ, and there isn't but one. All of the Old Testament prophets, Brother Nichols, pointed to one. Isaiah 2 and verse 2. Micah 4 and 1. Joel 2. Daniel 2. All of those prophets pointed to one. Christ building one house. One house. Amen. Brother, I'm amen. Romans 16, 16. Salute ye one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Somebody said that all churches belong to Christ. I said, now why you do that to me? All of them the same. You remember, I saw a pretty Lincoln Continental out there, signature edition. If all cars are the same, why don't you jump into that one? You know one that's right? The one that's in the Bible. Right? We talk about his ascension into heaven. Acts 1 and verse 9. We talk about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ and the ascension into heaven. He bought one church. And it's the body of Christ. And I'm not ashamed of it. And how do you get in it? You hear that gospel, you believe with all your heart. You've got to repent of your sin. Acts 17, 30. Confess the name of Christ. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Acts 8 and verse 37. And one must be buried in a liquid grave of baptism for the remission of sin. Brethren, I'm not going to take that back. It's for the remission of sin. Baptism is for the remission of sin. It ain't because of either. Sometimes these brethren are these Baptists ain't just smart. And you don't have to know in the Greek to know that baptism will wash sins away. Well, God told me one time in a meeting, he said, that word for there is because of. I didn't go into all the Greek. I just turned to Acts 22, 16. Paul said, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. I said, sir, it ain't no for there. Ain't no for in the text at all. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And the Lord adds you to the church. Amen. Sometime I ask him, will you tell me what church the apostles were in? What church were they? Paul, Acts 26, verse 19. Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. I'll tell you what, Paul was preaching. You know what? He wasn't afraid because Agrippa was a king. Paul was putting it to him. Agrippa said, listen here, almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. He was trying hard. I know Paul was preaching with persuasion. Thank you very kindly. I see the man is up here. That's enough.